that.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo Perino. Oh, there's no answer today because Mary Jo Perino is not here. Let me tell you something, Josh. She does birthdays upright. For her birthday, they had the big throwdown, like karaoke equipment that they rented. They had a, you know, a country club, clubhouse that they were at. They just threw down. They just did it right.
That's
catering.
That's how you got to do it, Dan. Yeah. Got to do it. Got to go big.
So then that was her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
At her birthday party, she gave to her husband for his birthday a trip to New Orleans for two.
See, and that's how you also got to do it.
Yes.
You know, go out with a bang.
No kids, just you and your woman down there in New Orleans for a few days. And I don't know, have you been to New Orleans, Josh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, one time.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Well, once you go, you know, once, and you get a chance to see the sights, you go to, you know, Jackson Square, and you mm-hmm. can go to the aquarium. And you go to French Street, the jazz clubs. You go to Bourbon Street. I mean, you do all the sightseeing, the touristy stuff. All right, so once you get that out of your system, and then you go back again another time, then you know what you like and what you want. And then you can pick out the fine restaurants to hit up.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Good old Cajun cooking.
Oh, there's nothing like it down there.
Oh, no. Jambalaya.
Some of those places where the buildings, if you go in and they have a little courtyard, mm-hmm. you know, in between the buildings, and they're just serving some lovely shrimp etouffee or barbecue shrimp, or you know, some fish and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. So their whole deal was, we're gonna go down there and spend a few days, just basically enjoying ourselves, relaxing and eating great every night. I believe, I didn't see what she tweeted last night. Did you see any of her tweets last night, Mary Jo's?
No.
I'm going to look right now.
I am too.
Because I believe she told me that she was going to the Suns-Pelicans game, which was last night.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I saw something from a day ago. But I thought she was going to go. She told me they were going to go. You know what happened in the Suns-Pelicans game last night?
Devin Booker went off.
He did. Career high, 38 points. That's pretty good. Not only did he have a career high 38 points, he hit the jumper at the buzzer to send it to overtime, and that was after hitting the three to tie it with 11 seconds left. Devin Booker is about to become. He is on his way, fast track to superstardom.
Oh, yes.
You know, Anthony Davis, first superstar now. Karl Towns, now a superstar, and Devin Booker is next. John Wall, also a superstar. DeMarcus Cousins, also a superstar. So Devin Booker is about to become the fifth Kentucky Wildcat in the NBA to reach superstar status. Not just good player.
Not too bad.
Superstar status. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is a good player. He is not a superstar. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think who else is out there that's pretty good. That's not Eric Bledsoe's good player.
Good.
Not a superstar. Brandon Knight. He's good as well. Not a superstar. Devin Booker's about to be a superstar. Anthony Davis, superstar, 22 points, 11 rebounds, four block shots. But here's the deal. The Pelicans are off to an 0-6 start for the second straight season.
Ugh. Dang.
I mean, it's like when Michael Jordan, when he first came out,
mm-hmm.
the Bulls were atrocious, just the worst. He was the best. They were the worst. That's what Anthony Davis is dealing with in New Orleans.
Yes.
So anyway, I hope Mary Jo and her husband got to see that game last night because, I mean, if you live here, Kentucky fan. What better game could you see? An overtime game in which Devin Booker goes for a career high and Anthony Davis goes for 22-11, and you get to see Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe, and
Tyler Ulis. Not many.
Yeah. Doesn't get much better than that. So as I was saying about Mary Jo being gone, she's going to be gone tomorrow in New Orleans. I don't blame her. New Orleans is a great place. I mean, if I could be, I'd probably be in New Orleans right now too, just for a little break. That's all. But instead, I'm going to be at Commonwealth Stadium tonight for the Georgia Bulldogs and the Kentucky Wildcats in SEC football. It's going to be a big game. I say all that to tell you that Alex Risen from ABC 36 is filling in for Mary Jo this weekend. Good morning, Alex.
I was in New Orleans for like 2 minutes this morning.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I join you now.
I haven't been there since 2012, which of course was for the national championship. And then before that, I believe I was there in 2002 for Jazz Fest, which is great. You know, it's like 3 days. It's 2 weekends and 3 days each weekend of nonstop music. And then the festival ends at like 6 in the evening, something like that. It doesn't go all night. There's no night concerts at the festival itself. Then everybody leaves, and then those performers who have like short sets at the festival then do shows at venues around town. So like I saw Lenny Kravitz at Jazz Fest, and then saw his own concert by himself in another place in New Orleans. And then the time before that, good grief. Early 20s, me and a group of guys go to Mardi Gras. Come on.
Don't remember that one as vividly.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it well. Yeah. And then the time before that, it was Halloween. Me and a couple of people went for Halloween just for like a weekend.
You're a New Orleans man.
Love New Orleans. The food, the fun. It's a fun place. But we need to get talking about this game right here. Because there is so much to be had. Like, this is not a must-win game. It's not the way, you know, the season started out with you had to win South Carolina. You had to win Vanderbilt. You had to win Mississippi State. You had to win Missouri to get yourself in position to be bowl eligible. Now, the worst thing that could happen the rest of the season is you only beat Austin Peay, that you do not beat Georgia, Tennessee, or Louisville, that you only beat Austin Peay. So at the worst, you're going to be 6-6 and going to Birmingham for a bowl game. That's the worst case scenario.
It's a must win just based on that statement right there, Dan.
But what is at stake? What's there for the taking? Is a Georgia team that's lost 4 of 5. A Georgia team that comes in here is only a 2.5-point favorite. And the only reason they're doing that is because Las Vegas does not trust Kentucky to win. It does trust Kentucky to be Kentucky. You know, the Cubs were in the World Series. How many people were saying on Twitter, Cubs gonna cub. Cubs are cubbing. You know? Culture change.
Culture says change. The Cubs fan.
Culture change. Says Theo Epstein. Says Mr. Ricketts. It's the truth, though. They put it together. They change the way they do things. They change their thinking. Kentucky should be going into this game today thinking we should win this game. We're the team that's won 5 of 6. We're the team that's got 4 SEC wins. They're here playing on our turf. The name Georgia across the chest and the big G on the helmet shouldn't count for anything in this game. If they let it count for something, then that's part of the culture not changing yet.
Does that almost make it a must-win, though? Knowing what's at stake, knowing what's on the line. If we beat Georgia and Austin Peay, and even if we lose to Tennessee and U of L, then we're still 7-5, and we're going to finish ahead of one more team than in the preseason we thought we would, which is a great improvement, right? I mean, to be ahead of Georgia.
Well, you could still lose to Georgia, and then you win at Tennessee, and then you don't need to even think
about
Georgia.
Well, then it's craziness.
Right. If you lose to Georgia and you go to Tennessee and win, then you're not even thinking about Georgia. You know what I mean? But
the pack, the stadium, you know, just everything that they're trying to build into this thing, though, to lose, would you feel, as a fan, would you feel like it's a letdown? You know, you get riled up and you go, and then,
Yeah, that's a big part today.
Then it's just a letdown. The air's out of the bag again.
That's a huge part of what I'm talking about. It's, I guess, in terms of program changer or earning the trust back, must win in that category, because you've run two ads in the World Series, Game 6, Game 7, your commercial to come see Kentucky football play. Well, that ad ran during the World Series. So then you've got the coach, players saying, you got to get out here. Cash Daniels said, if you don't pack it, something's wrong with you. You know, so they're all expecting everybody to show up. So then you've done this already. This is year four. You as a coaching staff, you as Mark Stoops, have sold this program over and over again. And over again, when they've said, okay, all right, you got me, I'm coming, you punched them in the gut. And they were doubled over and throwing up, going, why did I do this? I'm never doing this again. Never again. I'm not coming back.
I'm not getting excited about this.
You had me at the 5-7 season, and then you let me down. You had me at the other 5-7 season, and you let me down. And then I was ready, and then you let me down against Southern Miss. Yeah. And then I saw what you did in Florida, and I'm not even watching at this point. Yeah. What's that? You beat Missouri? Oh, good for you. Let me know when you go to a bowl game. You know, that's the feeling I get from not everyone, but there's definitely a portion. That's why it's not full.
There's a vast majority that is very much saying, look, and here's the thing. If the SEC is down, and the SEC East is viewed as down, right?
It is, for sure, yeah.
But at least Kentucky is at the top of that down division, as opposed to where Kentucky would normally be if everybody was down. Kentucky would still be at the bottom.
Look, if you win
today,
they're
taking advantage.
Yeah, if you win today, you're a second place in the SEC East, and it doesn't matter how bad it's perceived to be. This stuff doesn't matter. What matters is you're expected to beat Georgia. You should beat Georgia today. And if you don't, and if you throw a stinker out there and you do something, just look bad, then all those people that you asked to come out to the stadium, they're done again. I mean, they're like, how many times am I going to allow you to fool me? That's just the feeling that I get. Because, you know, you talk about this game, and I've seen these comparisons. Okay, Kentucky's ticket prices are second lowest in the SEC. Okay, well, they should be.
Exactly.
They should be. You're not going to watch Alabama LSU at Death Valley.
Yeah.
You're watching Kentucky Vanderbilt.
Ooh, sign me up. South Carolina.
Right.
Man, Mississippi State without Dak Prescott. Where do I throw down my 50, 60 bucks?
So look, they should be the lowest. But the even at its lowest, it's still high.
It is high. That's what people forget. Like in Cash, I like Cash. Nice guy, right? Yeah. Good kid. Has he actually had to pay to go to those football games?
That's the thing. I have a family of four.
You ain't going. Not with the whole fam.
$240 to get in.
Woo!
$240 to get in with a family of four. And that's telling them no to every soft drink and popcorn and candy bar and whatever else they sell, which is not going to happen. That's not even a realistic approach. You go in knowing $50 in your pocket's going towards junk for the kids. So
it's going towards smiles, Dan.
Towards smiles.
You can't buy smiles, but you can sometimes.
Thanks. There you go.
You well, Josh, yeah, you can buy smiles. A bratwurst with grilled peppers and onions, that's a smile.
Yeah.
Some mustard, yeah, I'm smiling. So, $300 for a family of four at the minimum. And that's for 4 hours of entertainment. That's a hard sell. It's a hard sell. And if you're better, the price goes up.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. That's why it's better to buy season tickets. You just buy the season tickets, and then it's not $300 per game for your family, you know? Still, though, I don't know what to tell you. The price of entertainment in football has just gone up. And, you know, for that $300...
Some bills.
Well, I could double that. I'd double the $300, so make it two games. For the cost of two games, I buy a 60-inch TV.
Yeah.
And you're done. You're in the comfort of your own home. You have your own refrigerator that you can go to, your own bathroom that you can go to, your recliner. You can, when the game goes sour, you don't leave at halftime. You flip to one of the other 50 games that are on that's competitive. That's hard to compete with. So I don't disagree that ticket prices are reasonable given the market value. Don't disagree with that. They should be as low as they are compared to the others because of the product that's put on the field. But in just terms of money, just basic money for the blue-collar worker, the cost is still too much. It's just hard to compete with the other. So that's part of the reason the designs on Commonwealth Stadium were to take away some seats, make it a little smaller. You understand that? For it to get back to the what it was in 2007, it's going to take a win over Georgia. And the only game you got left is Austin Peay. They're not showing up for that way. So then it's next season before you get that kind of crowd. If you beat Georgia, go to a decent bowl game, and possibly beat a Miami or a, you know, a name team from the ACC.
If UK were to beat Georgia, what's the crowd look like for the Austin Peay game?
What's the weather look like? That's the bigger question.
I think it's okay right now.
That's November 19th, so it's still a few weeks away. If it's cold and nasty, I'll give you a comparable example. Charlotte last year, UNC Charlotte.
Yeah, okay.
About the same time of year, bad weather.
I understand scheduling and having that game.
Yeah.
But what do you feel like that does? I mean, just kind of for momentum, I mean, anything that I almost feel like having Austin Peay come in, I mean, they're terrible. That team's really, really, really bad.
Well, I like the idea from a football team perspective,
right?
Because you do it before you play Louisville.
Exactly. Get a little tune-up. Not really a bye week, but right. It is.
Try some things. Get rested up for some guys. You know, second half, the guys don't have to play. It's not as brutal on the body. It's been a long season. And get a little confidence in what you're doing and go into the Louisville game feeling good.
From the fan perspective, it is just like, okay, and we're coming off, and then ugh.
Well, last year against UNC Charlotte, you know, it rained, it snowed, it was cold, it was miserable. There weren't a lot of people there. But I went and took the, you know, one of my kids, and I mean, they and another guy with me that went and took his kid, they had a blast. They couldn't have had a bigger time. I mean, just smiling ear to ear the whole way, getting snowed on, doesn't matter.
Spending time with the fam.
Just having fun, just a new environment. But also, the place was, you had the run of the place.
Which makes it fun.
Well, yeah. You don't have to be like, come here, don't invade other people's spaces, come here.
Yeah.
It's like, do whatever you want. Entire section is yours. So I don't know that beating Georgia today would change how many people show up for Austin Peay. I guess a little bit, your last chance to see him at home this season. A little bit. But if the weather is bad, forget it. Forget it. Okay, Willie's on the line to talk ticket prices. Good morning, Willie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. I can't. There's no way I'm going to pay $60 for a ticket to a UK football game. I mean, I love UK football. And I'll go, sometimes I'll go out there and get the $20 ticket before the game.
Yeah.
But that's just, it's not worth it. I mean, that's overpriced for the value.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but as far as market value goes, which, you know, I mean, competitive prices as far as that goes, that's where they're going to do it. They're going to stick in that area.
Because they're still getting people. They are getting people. I mean, it's not full.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, talked about it, but at least there are still enough people buying it that it clearly makes sense for them to keep it priced at that point. But it is. It's just like, I mean, I can't see myself, you know, I cover the game, so I'm getting in on the credential, but it's like, man, I started thinking, like, it's like, man, you got a couple kids and you're, man, this is, you know, some paychecks are going quickly.
Let me tell you one thing my father-in-law told me one time. This was when Rich Brooks was not good yet, when working out. So this was maybe, you know, early on in the fourth year or something. My father-in-law's had season tickets. His family's had season tickets since Commonwealth Stadium opened. Bought them then. He's had them ever since. And he said that he hasn't taken vacation and he doesn't know how many years. I mean, he's basically given up his vacation for UK football season tickets. That was the trade-off. And he said the way he sees it, Rich Brooks is ruining his vacation. So, but that's the kind of thing, like John Calipari will say, people make all these sacrifices and
get to the Bahamas too, you know, yeah. Hey, it's the trip of the season.
Right, or the SEC tournament. He'll say people stop buying cartons of cigarettes, or one of the things he said one time, just to make it here. This is their vacation. That's what they save for. So same thing for UK football. People save for this. So, yeah, I think you have to consider it a little bit. Make a consideration, which they do from time to time. When they're not selling well, they absolutely make consideration. And this year they came out with something that I thought was pretty brilliant, was that automatic ticket thing.
Yeah, in the digital mobile.
Yeah, and you just find out before the game.
Where I'm sitting.
Where you're sitting.
Filling the gaps.
And it came out to be, what, $25 a game?
Yeah, significantly better.
Yeah, it was $25 a game, and they just told you where you sat. And they guaranteed you that you would have a good seat every now and again or something like that.
Yeah, there was a rule too. It was what, like one lower level?
Yeah.
Was guaranteed something with the package?
Something like that, yeah. So they.
Well, upper level seats are good seats. I mean, that's not an issue. It's just that's just too much money. I mean, even if you look around the games on TV, even in the SEC, the Alabama and the Georgia and all these teams, if you look, and they occasionally show the upper stands. I mean, they're empty in the corner, just like they're empty at UK in the corner. I mean, they're not filling up the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, South Carolina. Obviously, South Carolina start off the season was not.
Not at South Alabama, Carolina. Not at LSU. Tennessee does a pretty good job as well.
Georgia's had a rough year, and they've had some spots.
Right.
I've seen a couple games where.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Willie. All right, we got to take a break. It's been a while since we've been on the air here. We're just talking football pretty much most of the time. So you can call us 381-1313. Get in here. ABC 36 is Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. You can trust your car
to fleet.com. Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all, and at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the cure that your car needs. Fleet Doc Drive!
When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all. And at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the cure that your car
Suggins Bar & Grill opened its doors 30 years ago and has become a Chevy Chase tradition. It's the best in family casual dining, offering Southern comfort favorites such as fried banana peppers, award-winning homemade chili, fried catfish, and of course, their big, juicy half-pound hamburgers with toppings you choose, all at prices that will make you glad you brought the whole family. Stop by and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials made fresh daily. Suggins Bar & Grill on Romney Road, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live.
call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's time to start preparing for Saturday. This right here, it's the biggest game of the season. Everything we done before this, we were supposed to do. Now we got to get a big win on Saturday. Our team gonna need us. We need the biggest turnout of the year. We need everybody at the catwalk going crazy. We need everybody at the national anthem going crazy. Just building the energy, building the energy. First quarter, going crazy. Second quarter, before halftime, going crazy. Third quarter, then you know what I'm going to do before the fourth. Put them foes in there. This the week. This the week to complete the turnaround. This week going to complete the turnaround of UK football. Hands down. Hands down.
Hand down, man down. That's not good. What are you talking about? Hand. Where was the belief, man?
I don't really know what just happened.
That was Marcus McClendon, which
I mean, I know.
You have to know if you're a UK fan, you have to know about Marcus McClendon and believe. I mean, he wrote the song. It was 2007. It was the theme of 2007.
I think he said forget the media and the newspaper reporters or
that's
something.
That's right. That was part of the, it was the lyric in the song.
That was mean.
That's right. It was a lyric in the song. But now they bring him out at the game between like the third and fourth quarter, right, to give the hype speech.
He has lots of excitement.
Yeah. He has energy. He's serving his role. And he's talking about some stuff there that has some truth to it. I mean, as far as turning the corner, everything changes. This would be one of those moments, I would think.
I don't think it's going to be hype in the first, second, and third quarters.
Probably not.
Maybe early. Maybe it will be, you know. Drum up a little, all right, here we go. Vegas still thinks Kentucky's going to lose, so let's all kind of get excited until Georgia scores once, and then maybe it's back down to earth.
I think it'll be a good game. I don't know how exciting it will be because Georgia doesn't play exciting brand of football and neither does Kentucky as far as...
They look a lot alike.
Yeah.
Defenses but, I mean, have stepped up at times.
There's still so much on the line. So much up for grabs.
Hey, Kirby Smart's a good coach. I mean, somebody at Georgia's got to be like, ugh. Can't believe we fired that Mark Richt guy.
No. They're still blaming Richt.
You don't
Richt.
Think so?
They're blaming
him for the problems.
They're blaming Richt for the situation Kirby Smart is in. Trust me, I know I've got...
I know you know.
There's a couple of guys who went to Georgia who are in town. They come up and hang out every time Georgia comes here. So they're in town, and I'll be seeing them later at the game. Won't be sitting with them. They'll be sitting... In the Georgia section.
Naturally.
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit over there. So, yeah, they've already told me that, Richt left, you know, the sophomore class in complete disarray and, you know, busted on some recruits. And if they haven't transferred or haven't panned out, or, you know, just the, you know, it's Tubby's fault stuff.
Right.
So, they'll wait and see on this. But this is, I mean, what a better opportunity to catch Georgia. They're reeling. I couldn't find the soundbite, but Kirby Smart says basically that when you're losing like this, you know, your players have a tendency to think, well, they're not a good player and they're not on a good football team and that you're a bad football team. And then your mentality works that way. And now you go into games feeling like you're not that good of a football team. Whereas Kentucky should be feeling like it's a great football team right now. Winners five of the last six. What they did at Missouri, coming out 21-0, I mean, it showed me that they knew they were a good football team and that Missouri was not a very good football team.
Let's go put it on them.
Yeah. That's the way they should feel about this. And the evidence is there. If they want to hear it, look at it, read about it. You beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt went down to Athens and beat Georgia. Georgia has only beaten South Carolina. Is that right? They beat anybody else?
I'm looking.
They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Ole Miss. Got smoked by Ole Miss. They lost to Florida last week.
Yeah.
They lost to Vanderbilt. They beat Nicholls State in North Carolina.
They haven't played Mizzou, have they?
They beat North Carolina.
They beat Mizzou.
Nicholls State, I guess.
Yeah.
Missouri and South Carolina.
But Missouri was at Missouri. There was a minute and a half left. Fourth down, and Jacob Eason throws to the end zone for a touchdown win it. So they just barely escaped there. I just think you look at Georgia and Kentucky, the two programs, the two schools right now, what they're doing at this particular moment, Kentucky is the better team right now. That's not to say that Georgia's recruiting won't trump Kentucky's over the next few years or something. But at this particular moment, I think Kentucky is the better football team. 7:30 tonight on the SEC Network. UK is 5-0 this season when playing on the SEC Network. As Josh dabs.
Oh, yes. Dan, can I say something?
Is that the rally bun?
Man bun. Well, it can be because UK is 5-1 with my man bun.
5-1. That's not, is the one loss Alabama?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right.
Take it all the way down to Atlanta.
It's like a playoff beard, but less cool.
I don't know. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're into man buns, it's a good man bun.
Yeah, if you're into the look of Bam Bam from the Flintstones, I mean,
it is.
You got it.
Do you carry a bat around when you just start smashing stuff?
No.
If we could measure it, what do you think the measurement is there?
Like how long my hair is?
No, just how much it's sitting on top.
No, just the little piece of hair that's sticking out there.
That's like 2 inches.
The scrunchie that you have around it.
I don't know.
I think it's 2 inches to the top of the head.
2 inches there?
That sounds good. That's a good full, thick man bun. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I was young. And I'm not anymore.
Did you ever have a man bun?
Absolutely not.
Did you have a mullet?
I did have a mullet.
I was going to say, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't grow up in Williamsburg. Not a mullet.
So that's what I'm saying. When I was young, the dumb hairstyles that were dumb, I thought were cool. Now I'm older, and I think the dumb hairstyles are dumb.
I think you just called your man bun dumb, Josh.
No. Not Josh.
Everybody
looks good
else.
On you.
Okay.
Dan's a great liar.
I've got to find a photo of Dan with a mullet. I have to.
Let's go to break. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. I tell you what we're going to do next, Alex. We're going to talk high school football.
Good.
Playoffs last night, first round. We'll go through it all next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's the Articat factory authorized clearance sale going on now at MLS Power Sports. Come in today for the best prices ever on the awesome Wildcat X and X Limited and save up to $3,700. Ride away on an Altera 454x4 for only $47.99 with payments as low as $85 a month with approved credit. Don't miss out on this awesome Articat factory authorized clearance event only at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Always wear a seatbelt on ROV. Articat recommends that all riders take a training course and that they read and understand their owner's manual before operation. For safety or training, see your dealer.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
but most of all, ride victoriously.
Something big is happening Thursday, November 10th. It's the Big and the Bluegrass Charity Concert at Heritage Hall, featuring Blind Boys of Alabama, the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and Room Full of Blues, plus a whole lot more. For more details, go to their website, bbbs-bluegrass.org.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood. Before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
So that music, Alex, means
you're here.
That it is time for the high school football segment presented by LM Communications local sales manager Don Trail. High school football playoffs last night, first round beginning. We got to start in Class 6A because there's only one game that is yet to be completed, and it is Lafayette and Butler because this happened last night. The stadium lights went out. The game was postponed and will be resumed today at 3 o'clock with the Generals leading 7-6 in the first quarter. So I was there from the beginning.
You were.
At this game. Lafayette gets an onside kick to begin the game. Like they do the onside kick, they recover, they're off and rolling. So ensuing drive resulted in a touchdown. It's 7-0 Lafayette with 10 minutes left on the clock in the first quarter. So then Lafayette's next possession, they're driving again. And they are down probably around the 15 or so. Walker Wood makes a spectacular play. He is back to pass. He's in the grasp. He's being spun. He's about to go down and flips it to Cameron Morgan. Cameron Morgan's got some field in front of him. He takes off. About the 10-yard line, somebody comes from behind him on the sideline there and pops it out. So the ball is laying on the turf. I mean, there's a Lafayette kid right there that doesn't realize that the ball is laying on the turf. He just thought his teammate had been tackled. So it's laying right there next to the Lafayette sideline, 8-yard line. And somebody from Butler has got the ball. And the kid from Lafayette now realizes that there was a fumble, and he reaches down and is grabbing the ball, and he kind of pulls on it and pulls the player with it a little bit. Okay, that's just regular stuff. Well, him doing that, there's about 4 Butler players around him at the point this happens.
Pack of Bears don't like that, huh?
No. A little shove. Like a little shove. Just enough. What do they say? The retaliation is always the one that gets caught, right? They never see the first thing that happens that caused it. They always see the retaliation. So the kid from Lafayette retaliated with a bigger shove. Still, we're talking about shoving. We're not talking about punches being thrown, no kicks, no helmets off, being used as a weapon, none of that stuff. We're talking about shoving each other. But that second shove from Lafayette, domino effect of a bunch of other shoves. And the next thing you know, Butler's bench is coming all the way across the field. And the coaches are going nuts trying to get their players to keep this from being national news. Oh, to boy. Being a YouTube sensation of the brawl at Ishmael.
At Ishmael.
thankfully, it didn't escalate more than that. But at one point, I mean, I look over and, you know, one of the kids from Lafayette is buried underneath a few of the kids from Butler. I didn't see any kicking or anything like that. I mean, and they coaches got them off pretty quick, got them separated. But by the end of all that and 18 flags, which I walked over to the refs, there was a couple of them standing there. I said, so I see like, you know, there's like six flags here on the ground. Do you guys put initials on those? Or, I mean, is it just free for all? Just because there's some is bright yellow, dark yellow.
Yeah, I like mine to be laser lemon as opposed to goldenrod.
I mean, what's the situation with that? Because, I mean, could be germs. I don't know who washes any. Maybe one has not been washed all season. What if you get that one?
Yeah.
What was proper etiquette here with flags?
What was the answer?
The answer was, we just pick them up.
I want my own flag anyway.
And so because everything happened so quickly and everything, and then there was a bench clearing, and there was something going on here, here, and here, like three little areas of skirmishes going on. They couldn't figure out who had done what. So they just said, look, we're going to have to send this in to the KHSAA to figure out who's at fault here and who should be ejected and all that stuff. So everything stayed the same. Everything stayed the same. Butler ball at the 8-yard line. Next play, 92-yard touchdown. Soon as play resumes, 92-yard touchdown, Butler.
Not a good response.
They're about to kick the extra point, or maybe they've just tried the extra point and failed, but it's 7-6.
Getting ready to kick the extra point.
Getting ready to kick the extra point.
Yes.
Because
that's where they're picking up play.
I am walking out to go to Lexington Catholic as the 92-yard touchdown is happening. Like, I'm looking back over my shoulder and going, oh, they just scored on the very play that I didn't. Because once the melee and all that stuff happened, I went.
Well, it's Butler ball.
Yeah, I'm not.
And so for us, that's what's, you know, not a good response by Lafayette. Let's move on.
Yeah. So, yeah. Then they score the touchdown. I'm like, well, there's that. And I go, I'm out of here. Next thing I hear is just screams and yells like somebody been shot or something. That's what I hear from all the fans. And I look back and there's not a light on over there. It's all dark. And I hear over the PA, please, fans, remain calm. A fuse has blown, causing the stadium lights to go out. At that point, I'm like, oh, boy. And then I saw you at Lexington Catholic and said, good luck. Lights went out when I left.
I got some really good video of it being dark and then a scoreboard. It was good. It was, too. I mean, I did a pan from left to right, irised up, full game. It was good.
So the first play, they'll play again pick it up at 3:00 today. Don't need lights this afternoon.
No.
And this is a 1-4 game, meaning Lafayette is a district champion, swept its district, and Butler is the 4 seed. So this is no 4 seeds beat a 1. No 4 seeds beat a 1 last, except, was there? Did Nicholas County win or
PRP lose? McCracken County.
Was that a 4-1?
Yeah.
But the point is,
the Ridge.
Lafayette's the heavy favorite. Lafayette should win this game. You would expect
that's
Lafayette
different than PRP. Game. Yeah. PRP is a 4.
Yeah. So then, well, you know what? We spent so much time on that because it was craziness last night over there. We have so much meat of the playoffs to get into, and it's 10:45. It's break time. So we're going to go 2 segments. We're doing a 2-segment. It's playoffs.
Why not?
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
It's playoffs, baby.
Josh is dabbing. Everybody feels
playoff
good.
Playoff edition. If, and it's not time, it's 10:44 in the morning, but if you were playing, if the show was on later at 10 o'clock at night, we could probably play a drinking game to Josh's dabs.
It's consistent.
Yeah. Because it's up to at least 4.
Yeah.
So far, yeah. All right, dab us on into a break, Josh. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. Alex Risen from ABC 36 sitting in for Mary Jo Perino here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The leaves are falling and cooler weather's on the way. Don't get left out in the cold. Make sure you and your car are prepared. Catch Car Talk with Trevor from Jack Kane Ford's Quick Lane every Tuesday and Thursday for tips and facts on how to keep your ride running smooth. Car Talk with Trevor from Jack Kane Ford's Quick Lane every Tuesday and Thursday on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Heat up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. From November 6th through the 20th, finance your new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months. Don't miss this chance to get the best deals on the best brands of hot tubs during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. November 6th through November 20th, finance a brand new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months only at Aurora Pools and Spas, 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington, or call them at 299-2932. Heat up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Rage Against the Machine or not? Is this... No, this is
Prophets of Rage.
So this is Tommy Morello's band.
Tommy Morello, the bassist and the drummer from Rage, and I can't think of him.
Chuck D from Public Enemy?
Yeah.
Public Ooh.
Enemy. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's stop.
Turn it back up. Okay. Because Chuck D.
Is Chuck D.
Yeah. So next break, you got to play Shut 'Em Down.
Ooh,
by Public Enemy.
Yeah, you do.
One of the all-timers.
Well played, Reefer.
And Tom Morello is the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, who's just unreal.
Amazing. Yeah. And he graduated from Harvard.
I didn't realize that.
Really?
Tommy Morello, Harvard grad.
Yeah.
Cue up the shooting star, the more you know.
In this case, it's a dab. Oh, my God.
I like it.
It has evolved. It is not
it
was intended to be. It is what that was. Which, I mean, you're just fortunate we're not on TV right now. All right, let's go through 6A quickly. High school football playoffs. We said Lafayette-Butler, that game at 3 o'clock today. The winner will play Tate's Creek. Lafayette likely will win and would host Tate's Creek next Friday, so it would be Roy Walton Bowl Part 2 of this season. Madison Central upset by Campbell County, 26-21. Campbell County went 3-7 during the regular season. 3-7 during the regular season. Madison Central was an 8-game winner. 26-21, Madison Central's season is done. So the Camels will play at 10-1 Simon Kenton next Friday, likely to be Simon Kenton versus Lafayette in that region final, you would think. Scott County's the only winner from District 8. Bryan Station, Henry Clay, Dunbar, all done. Seasons are over. Scott County's going to host Connor next Friday, and then the winner gets Ryle versus Cooper winner. I mean, you're probably looking at Scott County.
And Ryle, yeah.
Big, big game. Scott County, Ryle, Lafayette, Simon Kenton. Oh, yeah. That's not next week. That would be 2 weeks from now.
We like to look ahead.
Well, the playoffs are set up such that you immediately look ahead 2 weeks. You immediately look ahead 2 weeks.
And we immediately look ahead to Lafayette Scott County.
Yeah.
Is what we would want.
Yeah.
So we can actually finish a game. But anyway.
From here, yes. That would be, yeah. They could finish the game. All right, upper bracket of 6A. It's Trinity going to host Eastern, Ballard at Central Hardin. Those winners will meet in the region. St. X host Manual, PRP at Mail, and then those winners meet. So you're looking at St. X Mail, and then probably Trinity, Central Hardin. And then you're looking at Trinity, Mail, or St. X, because that's a toss-up.
I mean, to say about your alma mater? I mean, my boys always seem to find themselves in the tougher part of the bracket. Like, how are you in the same part of the bracket as Mail and Manual? And Trinity's over here with Eastern?
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, I live near Louisville Eastern, but those boys can't play any football. I mean, this is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, if you get in the side Manual, St. X Mail.
And BRP's, it's just like, what are we doing? This is crazy.
Let's go to Class 5A. Pulaski County edges Harlan County 14-12. Pulaski seeking fourth straight trip to the state finals will play at Whitley County next Friday. Whitley's pretty good. That winner gets North Laurel at Southwestern winner. So you're looking at a possible Pulaski Southwestern rematch in the region final. This year's game wound up being Larry French, the head coach of Southwestern's 300th career victory.
He got the trophy last night, by the way. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes. No, I didn't.
They
did
a presentation on the field. He got his trophy for 300. Of course, he did it in Larry French style, like, yeah, whatever, let's play the football game.
No, thanks to WYMT, we didn't have those highlights last night. They don't get us over there in Hazard, so they don't hear us. But for you guys that don't know, we're doing a trade on Friday night. WKYT does Fox's news. Like, their cameras, all their stuff, we have a contract with them. So I shoot for them, they shoot for us, all that stuff. And then WKYT's company owns WYMT, and WYMT is kind of like the training ground for WKYT. They get their...
Or the training ground to come help Dan Reefer.
Or that. But, you know,
anyway,
Brian Milam came from there. Amber Philpott came from there. I mean,
John Lewis, Keith Farmer.
Yeah, all these people that come through there. So we swap games. So they want games where their teams from the mountains are playing up here, and we send them over there, and then they send games over here. And we got a game from LKY last night. Central versus Garrett County was one of them. And then YMT was supposed to send a Pulaski County's game and Southwestern's game.
North-South Laurel, too?
Which they did, no. And no. Somerset's game against Peaburg.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to get those sent by 10:20 because our show goes on at 10:40. They didn't make it. They made it for the 11 o'clock. They made it for WKYT show. But they didn't make it for Fox 56 show. But look, I'm just joking around with them because I know. Let me just tell you, at 10:40 p.m. to have 18 games and scores for all of them and highlights, it's almost impossible. Last night it was impossible, actually. It was. Anyway, let's move on. So, Pulaski Southwestern possible rematch in the region in 2 weeks. Madison Southern, only winner from its district. Anderson County, Woodford County, Montgomery County, all out. So, Madison Southern will host North Bullitt, and then that winner gets South Oldham. Bullitt Central winner. I think South Oldham's unbeaten, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Then you look at the upper bracket there in Class 5A. It's Covcath hosting Doss, which beat Highlands 52-32. Highlands
bad.
First round playoff loss since forever?
Yeah, remember, because last year we talked about it. They did poorly, but then they wound up doing well in the district and then made the run all the way to Pulaski County, and Pulaski County, you know, beat them.
I don't know who Highlands coach is. I don't know him.
Ain't Dale Mueller.
No, it's not Dale Mueller. No. But, I mean, that's a tough act to follow. Dale Mueller, 21 state titles. It's a tough guy to follow. And now I would venture to guess this guy won't be following that much longer. After the season they just had.
You lose to Doss and your Highlands.
Yeah. So Dixie Heights at Fern Creek is that other game. So then it'll be Covcath probably against Fern Creek in the region. Christian County at Bowling Green. That's a rematch of a regular season meeting won by Bowling Green 42-22. The other game there is Greenwood at Owensboro. Those winners would meet. Class 4A, Wayne County beats Taylor County 38-21. Wayne County, which runs a one-back offense, came out in the wishbone formation to open the game, first play, in honor of Taylor County coach Dudley Hilton. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. That, I'm sure he would have rather maybe them come out in the one back and get a fumble return for a touchdown right. based on the win, but
that's respect.
It is neat.
Dudley Hilton, one of the all-time winningest coaches in the state, and that's pretty cool to do that. But then Wayne County won the game 38-21. Wayne County will play at East Jessamine, which beat Russell County 33-12. Mercer County beat Knox Central 21-3. Rockcastle beat West Jessamine 54-7. Mercer at Rockcastle next Friday. Winners get Wayne County East Jessamine winner. Johnson Central going to host Greenup County. Ashland at Bourbon County. There's that one. Then the upper bracket is Collins at Shelby County. Spencer County at John Hardin, which beat Franklin County 51-13. Unbeaten Franklin Simpson host Allen County Scottsville, defending 4A champ South Warren at Hopkinsville, and then those winners meet. Class 4A has 4 1-loss teams, by the way. Johnson Central, Rockcastle, Shelby County, Hopkinsville, and then the unbeaten is Franklin Simpson. I mean, it's pretty nice group of teams there. Class 3A, Lexington Catholic has reached the state semifinals 5 years in a row.
It's kind of crazy.
State semifinals, 5 years in a row. They beat Wagner 55-22 and will host Bardstown, which beat Western Hills 58-36. Bardstown, 1-loss team in Class 3A. Boyle County beat Moore and will play at Central, which beat Garrett County 48-26. Lexcath Bardstown winner will meet the Boyle Central winner. The other side of that bracket is Paducah Tillman at E-Town and Adair County at Caldwell County. KC County set the school record for most wins in a season by beating Powell County 48-12. They're now 9-1 and will play at 9-2 Estill County. The winner gets Bell County at Corbin winner. That's going to be Corbin. The other side of the bracket, Pike Central at Russell and Fleming County at Belfry.
KC County, though, Steve Stonebreaker.
Yeah.
Good move from J-Town over there.
So the bottom half of the bracket has 4 of the 5 1-loss teams left at Class 3A. Belfry, Corbin, Russell, and Casey County. Whew! Class 2A, LCA is 11-0 now. 56-26 winners over Shelby Valley. Somerset 35-6 over Prestonsburg. Somerset at LCA in a rematch of a regular season game. LCA won 41-28. But remember, LCA trailed that game in the fourth quarter and somehow won 41-28. Danville beat Allen Central 51-6, will travel to meet Leslie County. Good season Leslie County has had, but you're likely looking at Danville at LCA region final in a rematch of that 42-40 LCA win. So basically, LCA won the district already by winning at Somerset and winning at Danville, and now they have to turn around and go play Somerset and Danville this time at home.
Which is nice.
To get through the playoffs. It's just, you know, crazy. The other side of that bracket is Newport Central Catholic to host Lloyd Memorial, Covington Holy Cross at Walton Verona. And then the upper half of the bracket, upper part of the bracket, Butler County at Mayfield, Murray at Owensboro Catholic. Those winners meet. DeSales at Glasgow, Washington County at Cal. Probably looking at Mayfield, Owensboro Cal? Catholic. Cal, like Christian Academy, Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Cal could get in there.
I think we're looking at Mayfield, Owensboro Catholic. And DeSales.
DeSales Cal rematch? Because Cal beat them pretty bad.
12.
Didn't they?
No, it was like 12 to 6 or something.
Oh.
Low scoring game. And then you probably LCA or Danville versus New Cath in the other semifinal.
Yeah.
All right, we got about a minute left, so we're going to run through Class 1A. Paintsville beat Paris 59-7 to remain unbeaten. Will host Fairview. Winner gets Raceland at Nicholas County. Winner. Williamsburg over South Floyd 69-6. So the final football games have been played now by Allen Central and South Floyd because those two schools will consolidate into Floyd Central next year. Williamsburg will host Hazard. Winner gets Pineville at Pikeville winner. Upper bracket, Frankfort beat Bellevue 53-16. Will play at KCD. Frankfort lost KCD 33-24 during the regular season. The winner gets Louisville Holy Cross at Beachwood winner. Crittenden County at Bethlehem and Campbellsville at Russellville winners will meet in 2 weeks. And there you go. There are the high school football playoffs. Back to talk UK Georgia football game after this on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Heat up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. From November 6th through the 20th, finance your new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months. Don't miss this chance to get the best deals on the best brands of hot tubs during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora. November 6th through November 20th. Finance a brand new hot tub at 0% APR for 36 months only at Aurora Pools and Spas, 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington, or call them at 299-2932. Heat up your holidays during the Holiday Hot Tub event at Aurora.
You know, if you're like me, about two or three times a week, you think, man, I'd love some pizza. And when that happens, there's only one place to go. It's a neighborhood place. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza. It's right over there on Clay's Mill and Keatshire. Families love it. Everybody loves it. They have great food, great entrees, fresh salads, and the best pizza anywhere. Keno and a full bar. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza on Clay's Mill and Keyshaw.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
Guess what? The Botany Bay is now bigger and better than ever. Come on in. We've added 625 square feet full of things to do stuff with that you like. It's full of fire, poi, flow toys, incense, glass, and more glass. And tons of other stuff that's so cool we aren't even able to talk about it on the radio. So head on over to 420 East New Circle Road in Lexington and 218 South Porter Drive in Richmond.
You know, if you're like me, about two or three times a week, you think, man, I'd love some pizza. And when that happens, there's only one place to go. It's a neighborhood place. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza. It's right over there on Clay's Mill and Keatshire. Families love it. Everybody loves it. They have great food, great entrees, fresh salads, and the best pizza anywhere. Keno and a full bar. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza on Clay's Mill and Keyshaw.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Chuck D. Chuck D. This is the second time we've heard Chuck D. in the same show. That's never happened. That is a moment in history here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 381-1313 is the number to call if you want to get in here. At Ryan the Bush. Ryan Bush tweeted, chances Steven Johnson plays a turnover-free game. You know, I don't know. I'm sure Kirby Smart will try to target Steven Johnson in that way, but I think Eddie Grant and company has figured that out and decided not too many runs today, Steven. They've decided to, after that fumble return, 81 yards against Mississippi State, I think they've decided to limit his opportunities in that way. I think you saw it against Missouri.
It's not even the running. It's the fact that they were so close to bearing Mississippi State. That would have been it, right? I mean, you get the touchdown, maybe even a field goal there, and it's a totally different game.
Yeah, it's over.
Instead, it's immediately returned for six. You don't have to fight for that extra yard at that point. You know, just run it and go down, and we have another play, and we move on.
But what I'm saying is they take the ball out of your hands entirely with midfield, second and four.
Yeah.
Second quarter. Mm-hmm. I still think that they take the ball out of his hands as far as that goes. Like, they're not going to let him run that way, I don't think. Not too many times. I think they've seen it's just too costly. It's just too costly. By the way, Georgia leads the SEC in turnover margin.
Of course they do.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Currently on a streak of 9 straight quarters is Georgia without a turnover themselves. 9 quarters in a row, Georgia has not turned the ball over. Kentucky has turned the ball over twice, at least twice, in every game this season. Now, it didn't cost them points against Missouri, and it didn't cost them points against South Carolina, but everybody else has scored points off of those. Like 11 touchdowns, I believe, and 2 field goals.
I don't know the answer to this question. Maybe you can enlighten us.
Okay.
Is Kentucky, or does Kentucky have the best record with the worst turnover margin?
Oh, yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. I did look up
That's pretty deep. I'd have to go and look at everyone, and that's what I don't know.
I did look and see.
I don't know if you saw a stat or something.
A week ago. So not after last Saturday's games. Before last Saturday's games.
Right.
Kentucky had 18 turnovers, and at that point, Clemson, Louisville, and Tennessee all had 16 turnovers. So it was only 2 more turnovers than, you know, a 1-loss Louisville team and an undefeated Clemson team. But I don't know what their turnover margin was. It's one thing to turn it over if you're getting it back, you know, canceling it out. Here's the other thing about Georgia. Now, this is a different regime, so this may not hold. But Georgia has won the game following the Florida game in Jacksonville the last 9 years. 3 of those times it was against Kentucky. So that's part of it.
Who are the other 6?
I don't know who the other 6 are. It's another 9 years after they've played. Well, and Florida has won that game over Georgia.
That's interesting.
A ton of times, yeah. Just the schedule.
Win or lose, they just get up for that next game.
Okay, Georgia is 4th in the SEC in run defense. Only allows 109 yards per game. Total defense, 326 yards per game. That run defense is the 13th best in the country. But they've not faced Benny and Boom. Instead of dabbing, Josh, could you play what Kirby Smart said about UK's running game?
What happens when you play Kentucky is one guy misses a gap, and you've got a back coming downhill on your secondary really quick, and there's a lot of missed tackles. I mean, that the bottom line is people don't like tackling nowadays, and people who don't like to tackle don't tackle well, and they're running through tackles. They're running through people. They've got 2 kinds of backs. They got lightning and they got thunder, and they're doing a good job with those guys of really hitting and pounding it up in there, and there's not a lot of folks willing to tackle them when you watch the tape, and that's part of the issue. These guys run the ball really, really well.
Yes, Kentucky does. Lightning and thunder, he called them. I've always heard it thunder and lightning, but he went lightning and thunder. Because I guess Boom kind of starts the game, and then Benny comes in.
I'm a Benny Snell man.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Boom, when he hits that gap, like he did against Missouri, boom, gone, right? Mm-hmm. But when he doesn't, I always see a lot of dancing. A lot of east-west, a lot of trying to find something if it doesn't open up immediately.
Yeah.
Man, when it opens up immediately, he's gone. Because he is lightning.
Yeah.
But Benny is that, if it doesn't open up, I'm not going to lose yardage.
Right. He's north and south all the way.
I'm going to run over you and at least fall forward and get back to even or gain a yard.
Well, they no doubt make a great combination. The thing that's worrisome is JoJo Kemp is only going to be used in an emergency situation. He has a broken hand. So you saw against Missouri, I thought, that Boom Williams and Benny Snell got tired toward the end. There were definitely some fatigue on them. Well, heck, What, did Benny carry it 38 times?
Well, yeah, all of a sudden when you become a rushing football team.
Yeah. So they needed JoJo right there. Mark Stoops said they were going to go to Saheem King. That was the plan. And Eddie Grand said this week that Saheem King was ready. But then they didn't put him in because they didn't feel comfortable in the situation, meaning 35-21. So they were worried that Saheem King might be a risk.
Turn it over?
Yeah, they were worried about
I don't feel
the
like
risk.
There's any other thing you could say other than turn it over.
But they say, you know, he's ready to go this week, if need be. Saheem King's only had two carries all season. I mean, he's supposed to be like, boom, lightning fast.
He got some time last. I don't know where the concern the concern come from? How did this develop? Because he was kind of the talk of the town.
Yeah.
And he should be on the return team. Is he? Yeah. He's not still on the return team, though.
He's on special teams. I don't know if he's back. I don't think he's back to receive kicks. I don't know.
I know Charles Walker's obviously doing punt returns.
I know you need to give those guys a little bit of a breather. For sure, especially against Georgia. I mean, Georgia's going to be physical. But Boom is, he's third in the SEC in rushing, 102.6 yards per game, 7.5 yards per carry. Whew. And then, of course, Benny Snell, hashtag Snell, yeah, has the record for most rushing yards in a single game by a freshman. That was 192 yards against Missouri. And most rushing touchdowns by a freshman. Randall Cobb no longer holds that record.
Good company.
Some keys to pay attention to today. One, number one, do you believe Kentucky rushes for more than 100 yards today?
Yes.
UK is 5-0 when rushing for more than 100 yards and 0-3 when held under 100 yards. They're going to get 100 yards today. Question is, do they continue to win doing that? UK is 5-0 when it has more total yards and 0-3 when it doesn't. 4-1 this season when it scores first. Kentucky is 4-1 this season when it scores first. 1-2 when the other team scores first. Does Kentucky score first today?
Depends on that little coin toss thing. If UK wins, do they defer? Do you defer because... I almost feel like if UK were to win the DOS and defer, it's the, hey, we're coming. You know, it's we don't need the football.
Yeah.
Save it for the second half.
Yeah.
To set us up nice for that. Our defense is going to come out. We're going to stop you and get the football. Do you send the message of like ultimate football trash talk if you were to win the coin toss?
I got a feeling, though.
Or you say, no, you know, give me the football.
Yeah. I got a feeling that they like what they're doing so well on offense and feel good about what they're doing. I think they're going to believe that they'll score on the first drive. I believe that's what they believe.
I just feel like if it was close to a packed stadium and you come out there and you say, no, we're good.
Well, yeah, I mean, great momentum if you could get a 3-and-out
and
right away.
If you do get the stop, I think the place is electric. And your offense is even more jacked.
Yeah. I like the thinking.
They take the football.
If I'm betting, I think they take the football. UK is 4-1 when it scores 20 or more points. Is this a 20 or more point? I think it could be 3-0 after the first quarter or 0-0.
We've both seen a lot of Kentucky football, and nothing surprises me.
Yeah.
You would think... low scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, means it's not going to be low scoring, and it'll wind up being 32-24.
Last week, Kentucky came out passing right off the bat. Completed a couple passes right there to get the chains moving. And it'll be interesting to see what Georgia comes out in. Do they come out playing the run right away? And then if Kentucky's able to get a first down and get that first down, then it's like, whew, here we go. Train's moving. Get it going. It'll be interesting to see. Steven Johnson on the deep ball to Jeff Badette. They're going to take at least one shot of that play.
You have to.
Will Georgia be able to defend it? Will they be ready for it when it's called? The biggest play of the day today will be Can Steven Johnson connect to C.J. Conrad on the play that's been open against Alabama, Missouri, and every other game Kentucky's played, and it's only hit once? And when it did, it went for a touchdown. And if it had hit either against Alabama or Missouri, it would have been a touchdown in both of those situations as well. It's simple, but you got to catch it at the right time. And when you do catch it at the right time, you have to connect. And even C.J. Conrad recognized he that knows. And admitted it. He put knows. It on Twitter last week. Said, I promise, guys, we're going to connect one time. But that is one of those missed. You can't miss it. It's just points that you leave out.
He's due.
Yeah. They've got to connect on that. Steven's got to slow it down just a tad and not rush it so much. I mean, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, Jeff Bidette, he now has catches this season, TD catches this season, of 44, 45, 54, 65, and 72 yards. Kirby Smart knows this. Will Jeff Bidette be able to pull one in today? Does he get one of these 40-plus yard touchdowns?
Like you said, it depends on, does Georgia come out with a run defense? Do they come out saying, you're not going to run the football on us, we're not going to give up the 100 yards easy?
Yeah.
Because then that, like you said, it opens it up for that deep ball. Or do they come out and say,
if they play the run, they got to play man-to-man back there for the most part. And if Jeff Bidette gets behind you, it's over. And he can get behind you. They'll have to get a little bit of the passing game going. A little bit of it will have to be successful to be able to get some yardage in the run game. Because last week, the Florida-Georgia game, the rushing yards were just blah. I think Florida might average 2.5 yards per carry, something like that.
Well, not Eddie Grant and company knows that.
Yeah. So, Steven Johnson, turnover-free game was the original question we were trying to answer. My answer is no. He's gonna throw an interception or fumble. It's just based on what? How would I say no?
Yes.
He won't turn the ball over. You say yes, he won't turn the ball over.
I don't think he will turn the ball over.
No turnovers.
He won't turn the ball over.
Oh, is that right?
He won't. Yeah, the question was just Steven Johnson.
So you're thinking a Boom Williams or possible fumble?
Boom Williams.
That's what you're saying.
Something just in the gut says Boom's going to try to do something, and it's going to be like that Vandy game. I mean, they'll be running and running, and it'll just pop out. And
Kentucky, I think, could survive two turnovers today, and that's
yeah.
it. No more than that.
I don't know if they can survive a turnover for six.
Right.
I think the defense could hold fort if they turn the ball over.
Yeah.
But you can't give up scooping scores.
It can't be an immediate score. Like,
it's disheartening.
It can't be turned over inside the 10 and then they score a touchdown. Or it can't be pick six, or it can't be returned for a touchdown, right? Or it can't be anything inside your own 20-yard line.
It's free points.
Yeah. Not today. Today, this is not a team where you might be able to overcome it like you did. I mean, you can't rely on Austin McGinnis' 51-yard field goal with no time left today. No.
Apparently, you could.
Do not try that again. What was the last thing I had here? Oh, the defense. We're talking about Kentucky's defense. We were talking about their offense. Now, Kentucky's defense and this Georgia offense, which is not good. This is another one of the – Kentucky's defense has improved and been eating because they've been feeding on Vanderbilt, South Carolina. I won't say Missouri because they put up 600 yards.
Mississippi State.
Right there. So you look at UK's first three games versus last five. 243 yards were game rushing. That was the first three. Last five, 168. 285 yards a game passing allowed to opponents first three games. 188 these last five. Total offense, 528 yards a game Kentucky was giving up in those first three. That's down to 357. Opponents were scoring 43.7 points per game against Kentucky those first three. That's down to 23.2 over the last five. 23.2 over the last five.
Which includes Alabama.
Exactly. 34 points to Alabama. Not holding on third down. Giving up the first down 57.7% of the time those first three games. That number's down to 35%.
57% is pretty impressive. That's like almost like you're trying to give them a first down.
Right. I mean, it's basically 60%. 60% of the time on third down.
It works every time.
No stop. Getting that down to 35% is pretty good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to revisit yesterday at Santa Anita. Pretty special distaff that was run there yesterday in the Breeders' Cup. And we'll do that next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I am smoking on that gas.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses is your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
HelpWantedLexington.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. HelpWantedLexington.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could hire one firm in America to represent my family or friends for injuries, a medical mistake, or for a claim against an insurance company, I would hire us, hands down. No firm in America has tried more personal injury cases in the last 5 years than us. I challenge you to find one. You won't. Insurance companies know who we are and, more importantly, what our results are. The tobacco companies have battled us in the courtroom, and we have verdicts to prove it of $90 million, $40 million, and $18 million for our clients. Black farmers receive $1.2 billion for compensation for years of discrimination against them as a result of our efforts. BP Oil knows who we are as we represent thousands of business owners. Years of verdicts at trial and the desire and the money to fight for justice for our clients is why I would hire us. No brag, just fact. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at BarkleyBlevins.com.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
And here we go. Songbird set down. The holder is alongside. Forever unbridled is 2.5 lengths behind them. Furlong to run. Songbird, the holder. They are nose to nose. This race living up to its expected power as they come to the wire. Their nose is up the mark. It's the holder. I think she got her head down on the wire. Songbird, dogging Gamely all the way. The two of them right together. And then came Forever Unbridled. The final time was 1 minute 49.20 seconds.
Larry Colmus with the call for Santa Anita. Whew. Remember his call of American Pharoah last year?
The horse of a lifetime!
Beholder by a nose over Songbird in an all-time finish in Beholder's final race. I mean, this mare had just had a spectacular run. I think she went undefeated from last Breeders' Cup through somewhere this summer, And then she just fell off. She had a couple races where she didn't look good, and I had written her off. I thought that was it. That's why they're retiring her. They're going to run her one more time in the Breeders' Cup to see if she's got anything left in the tank.
Swan song.
Yeah, but she's done. Clearly, Songbird is the young three-year-old up-and-comer, and then Stellar Wind had already beaten Beholder this year. And so you thought, well, here comes the new blood. Old girl, it's time to retire. And just when you wrote her off, here comes Beholder. Jockey Gary Stevens said he had never been in a battle of that length. We're talking about Gary Stevens, who's 50-something years old, has been riding 30 years or more. He said it was definitely a quarter of a mile of just a street fight. I mean, those horses were eye to eyeball for the entire stretch run, the whole thing. It was pretty fantastic. That became Beholder's 11th Grade 1 win and third Breeders' Cup win.
Man.
2013,
yeah.
She won this race. Yeah, last year, I said she didn't run in the Breeders' Cup last year. Remember, she got scratched from the to face American Pharoah in the Classic.
Which was
she had a
the crate, right? I mean, that was whoa.
That's what you wanted to see. The other races yesterday, the Dirt Mile, the favorite Dortmund, finished fourth. Tamarcuz at 12-1 takes it for trainer Kieran McLaughlin.
I'm with you.
The McLaughlin group and then Sarah McLaughlin. And so don't know which way to go.
Sorry, Kieran.
Kieran, we apologize. He went to Tate's Creek High School, didn't he? Isn't that right?
I think so.
I think he did.
I can say that.
Gunrunner was second, Accelerate third. The Juvenile Turf, fittingly, just down the road from Hollywood, the horse named Oscar Performance takes it. And then the Juvenile Phillies Turf, New Money Honey wins it. The trifecta paid $1,163. That was the trifecta. The superfecta paid nearly $28,000.
I've got to ask this.
Yeah.
It's the Breeders' Cup, right?
Yes.
And don't get me wrong. There are some fantastic horses that are always just a cut above the rest, right?
Yes.
But it's the Breeders' Cup. How do you get some of these crazy odds still in a Breeders' Cup? Aren't they supposed to be the best horses?
Yeah, but the fields are so large.
And I get it, but it's like, man.
So look at Dortmund. He was a 6-5 favorite.
It's true.
He finished fourth. I mean, you had...
How does Dortmund get to be 6-5? I mean, again, everyone thought he's going to... I thought he was going to win. But it's like, how do you get down to 6-5 when you're going against the other best horses for that particular type of race?
Yeah.
It's weird to me.
Well, then at the same time, you have horses that go from, let's say, had been running a mile and a 16th, a mile and a quarter. And they jump down to a mile, you know, or...
Can they do them, yeah. Or they jump, can they do that mile?
Or they had been doing a mile and they go to 6 furlong or 7 furlong.
Yeah.
The sprint, you know. So there's that. But, I mean, there's just so many good horses. You're talking about every one of these races, you have multiple winners. Multiple winners. And given the class and the competition... One horse might be way better than you thought because that horse didn't run in these other races that had the better horses in it. And then all of a sudden is just a great horse at 12-1.
Yeah. It just makes the Breeders' Cup that much more awesome.
Yes, it does. Today there are, 9 races today. Culminating in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Featuring California Chrome, Victor Espinoza, and Art Sherman. 1-1 favorite. Odds-on favorite.
Man.
Arrowgate is the horse that people think could possibly get California Chrome. Arrowgate, of course, broke the Travers record. Fastest ever in 120-something years of that race. Arrowgate was the one that had the fastest time at that distance. Bob Baffert trained horse, ridden by Mike Smith. And then you have Frosted, Karen McLaughlin's horse that he's run for so long. So those three are the top choices. And I don't see anybody beating California Chrome, but Arrowgate would be the only one that I think would. ton of races today. Tepin lost here at Keeneland in the fall meet. Tries to bounce back and win there in the mile. That's the race immediately preceding the Classic. By the way, that call, Larry Colmus, courtesy of NBC Sports. Back talking more football right here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with ABC 36's Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's just another bomb track by Josh. Bomb track after bomb track, thanks to Josh. I do have to get you more variety, though. I've got to get you...
Well-rounded.
Here's what I tried. I tried doing this one time, and I put, on a flash drive, I put a mix of songs that would have lasted us a year. And so I just tell Josh, just pick one of those. Pick one of those, stick to that. Try not to repeat, pick one of those. And then one day he did, and I guess I had the unclean version.
Oh,
The uncensored version of a song.
Oh.
And we almost bit the dust. We almost got taken off the air for that one.
Went off the rails on a crazy train, huh?
Woo!
Thank you, Kanye West. Thank you, Kanye
West. Oh, yeah. You can't put any Kanye on there.
Had to stop that. So then I just said, no more risk. Give me the flash drive back. It's never been seen again.
I've never listened to a clean song in my life. Give me the flash drive back, said Dan Reefer.
Talking UK football. This game kicks off tonight at 7:30. It will be on the SEC Network. UK is a 2.5-point underdog, at least yesterday. I haven't looked at it today yet. I haven't seen where the line has moved to. But as we said, Kentucky 5-0 this season when playing on the SEC Network. And we were talking about Stephen Johnson earlier, whether or not he would have a turnover-free game. Ryan is on the phone. Ryan, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show with ABC 36's Alex Risen.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, Ryan.
Pretty good. So my question is, you know, Stephen Johnson's played awesome. He's coming in against New Mexico. So say we win tonight and beat Austin Peay, we're 7-5, regardless if we win the bowl game or not, do you think he deserves or should be the opening day starter next year over Drew Barker?
Well, I think after – to do all those things you just said, go to a bowl game, all that, I still think they will open it up and let Drew Barker have a shot at it. I just still
believe they'll do that. It'll be a competition, yeah.
How short would Drew's leash be then?
Well, that's tough. It's tough because Eddie Grant's offense, we're not seeing what he would love to do. What he would love to do is what he did at Cincinnati last year and what he did in the first half against Southern Miss. But clearly he has to have a little bit of a mix of that. So I think Drew Barker is the better overall passer, but Stephen Johnson has the experience now. And will have had the experience of leading Kentucky to a bowl game victory if what you say all comes to fruition. I don't think that they will just give him the job, and I do think that there will be a situation where if Drew Barker is not getting it done, they'll have no hesitation going to Stephen Johnson. I think it could be a two-quarterback type system that could emerge from it all.
Yeah, if you're not the guy, if it's not your day, gone. You're out.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
The future, future of the quarterback situation at Kentucky is awfully interesting.
Walker Wood. I mean, you saw the Lexington Herald Leader article.
Yeah, that Mark Story did.
Yep.
And Kentucky is recruiting or has said that Walker Wood is an athlete. That's the way they put it. And he is, I guess, undersized for SEC quarterback. What is
he's
Walker?
He's okay with that.
5'10", 11?
Yeah. 5'11".
Yeah. He is electric with those feet. He throws a good ball. It's just, is all that enough?
The decision-making would have to be fine-tuned a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he likes, you know, he thinks I can thread that needle.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
But other times, man.
He says he only sees himself as a quarterback anyway.
He is a quarterback. Do you know what other position would he really play? If you list him as an athlete, what position would he play?
Oh, I could see the slot receiver. I could see the Dickie Lyons Jr. role.
I don't know. I don't see him.
I could see Derek Abney out of him.
I just see him running around. You know, I can't picture him because I've seen him for so long do what he does best.
You've seen those long runs that he makes. Give him the ball in the open field on a kickoff or a punt or a slot.
I'll have to ask Walker. Hey, Walker, would you be okay returning kicks? Has he ever returned a kick?
I could see him in that, like I said, Derek Abney, Dickie Lyons Jr. Because neither one of those guys were big either. They were 5'9", 5'10", 5'11"-ish, right in there. But just crafty with their feet and ultimate competitor. That's Walker Wood.
Yeah.
Big heart, ultimate competitor.
Nice to have that guy in the slot because it does open up the crazy options and things that you can do.
But right now, Stephen Johnson has 1 year of eligibility left. That's next season. All right, Drew Barker could possibly get a medical redshirt because he played in two and not even a third of a game. I mean, not even
just
a quarter.
That first snap, yeah.
Yeah, he played
the first drive.
Yeah, so barely a third game. So he could get – that would give him 2 more years because this was his redshirt sophomore year. So he still has junior, senior year left. Right, he was redshirt sophomore this time.
Right, but if he got a medical redshirt,
he would get 3 more years.
He'd have 3 more full years because this year would not count.
Have 2. So if next year Stephen Johnson played, then he would have 1 year left or medical redshirt 2 years left. Well, you have Gunnar Hoke now, a freshman, true freshman. He's going to redshirt. Then behind Gunnar Hoke, you have
Walker Wood and
the kid from
Ohio State.
He committed to Ohio State. He's got an Ohio
State. We talked
State,
about it right here.
I know. He's got an Ohio State tattoo on his body. I mean, if you can get a guy from Ohio State, he was going to be Urban Meyer's quarterback, and then they basically got a higher-ranked quarterback to commit. And once they did that, this guy came down, visited UK, and is coming here. So he's the 2017 class with Walker Wood. And then the 2018 class is Jaren Williams, who's a dual threat quarterback, who has also gone up and seen Lamar Jackson do what he's done in person at Louisville. And if I were putting money on it, and you said, when he actually signs on signing day, where does he go?
I would
give the lean towards the team that does what it does with Lamar Jackson. But I am by no means a Rivals.com, 24/7 Sports, Scout.com, you know, insight guy.
Crystal baller.
I couldn't tell you for sure. I think today, though, Steven Johnson absolutely has to make some throws. He has to make some throws today. I mean, the pass, did you find him yet? What's his name? Quarterback from Ohio.
Danny Clark.
Danny boy.
I can't hear the name Danny without Caddyshack just popping into my head immediately. Yeah.
Danny?
Never mind. I'm going to... How would you like to mow my lawn? Well, Steven Johnson has to make some throws today. Kentucky cannot. If Kentucky just runs over and over again and is not able to open it up just a little bit, could be in trouble. Could be in trouble here. Here's what's on the line. Do you understand?
Everything.
Do you understand? I mean, Kentucky right now is 4-2 in the SEC for the first time since 1993. A win would clinch at least second place finish in the SEC East. Never. That's never happened. Never. UK hasn't won 5 SEC games in a season since 1977 and has only done it in 4 seasons ever. Ever. 1950, 54, 76, 77. Never won 4 SEC home games in a season. Never has won 4 SEC home games in a single season. That's what's on the line today. UK has, here's the difference, too. Here is a huge difference. Here is why I got into this debate, I don't know, a few weeks ago when Mark Story did an article about Kentucky's recruiting base and being able to recruit the state. You go back to South Carolina under Steve Spurrier when it rose, when it started to take off. Jadeveon Clowney, South Carolina. Marcus Lattimore, the running back, South Carolina. The other big defensive end, I can't remember his name. They had another defensive end, Kelsey Quarles, defensive lineman.
Where was Farrell Cooper from?
I'm not sure. I can't. No, he was from South Carolina as well. But the point was you go down through South Carolina's roster and some of their key players during those back-to-back 11-win seasons were from the state of South Carolina, which brings me to Georgia has 95 players on its roster from Georgia. 95 players. If Kentucky had 95 players on its roster from Kentucky, they wouldn't have 4 SEC wins right now.
Farrell Cooper, born in North Carolina. But
North Carolina, okay.
Either way.
UK has 10 players from Georgia on its roster, including one Stanley Boom Williams, who declined Georgia's offer, was committed to go there, and decided to go to UK instead. It just makes a huge difference. Georgia has so many good football players down there that you can have 95 guys on your roster. If you can recruit your own state like that, that's why Georgia is able to do what they do. But right now, at this particular point, those guys are not playing so well. You look at who the two have played. Both UK and Georgia have played Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Florida. Now, Kentucky was not the same team it is now than when it played Florida. Against Florida, they did not show up. They didn't even want to be there. It was not good. Vanderbilt, Kentucky won a close game, overcame a turnover,
scoop
a touchdown.
And score, yeah.
Scoop and score, turnover for a touchdown, and still won the game against Vanderbilt. Georgia lost. South Carolina, about the same. Both teams about the same there. Both won over South Carolina. Georgia needed a heroic Jacob Eason touchdown pass with a minute 29 left on fourth down to beat Missouri on the road. Kentucky was pounding Missouri and then shot itself in the foot a couple times to let him come back and put some points on the board. 35-21 was the final, but it was 21-0. Kentucky was well on its way, and then it, you know.
Kentucky'd.
Yeah, it did.
But not old school Kentucky'd. New school Kentucky, right?
Right.
Maybe that'd be nice to be able to say, ah, they let him put points on the board.
Yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of Kentucky's win over Georgia in Commonwealth Stadium. And the last time it happened in Commonwealth Stadium that Kentucky won the game, 2006. And the goalpost came down.
See, my thing is you can't, you know, a few people even had asked and mentioned, you know, would UK rush the field tonight? Would fans rush the field? I said, no, you can't rush the field. You at some point when you're Kentucky, and I get the excitement and all that. I remember, you know, being a student and rushing the field when UK beat LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I was jumping over walls. It was awesome. But at the same time, you do at some point have to, hey, look, we can't rush the field for beating Georgia, who is terrible this year.
The only argument to that would be it's five SEC wins. Haven't done that since 1977.
But should you rush the field for, or should it, is this the point though of we've turned the page?
Yeah. Should you? No. Will they? Yes.
Yes.
our buddy Kyle Tucker, by the way, reminds us that South Carolina had Sidney Rice and Alshon Jeffrey, both from the state of South Carolina.
That's right.
And then when the recruiting dried up, Steve Spurrier said, well, guess I'll go do some advising down there in Florida.
Yeah, Kentucky. Left. Kentucky's got a punter and some other stuff now. I'm out.
Hey, quickly before we take a break here, and wanted to mention a couple news notes that happened. Antoine Walker is joining the SEC Network. So that's kind of a cool deal that you have Antoine Walker now on there with Tony Delk.
Get your shimmy on.
Who else is on there? Cal Macy is an analyst as well on staff with the SEC Network. And then is it Damian Fishback? He's from Kentucky. He played at Auburn, but he's from Kentucky. So he's another one that's on there. But Antoine Walker will
make... Quick question with Macy, yeah. Because he's on the transy staff. Is he still going to do the SEC stuff?
Yes, I
didn't know because I hadn't talked to him. So.
I actually talked to Brian Lane, transy head coach, about that on the sideline of a football game about a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
They've got it worked out.
Good deal.
They've got it worked out that he'll be able to do both. But, Antoine Walker. He's going to make his debut on college basketball's opening night, November 11th. And he'll be a studio analyst. So I don't know if he doesn't sound like he'll be a color analyst for game, going to be in the studio. UK women's soccer coach fired after 8 seasons, John Lipsitz. I thought he was a very cool guy. Seemed like a great guy every time we ever talked to him. But he wound up going 1-7-3 in conference play this season. And his overall conference record was 39-42-14 in 8 seasons. And so Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart decided to make a change there. But best wishes to Coach Lipsitz and his family. John Cohen officially introduced as Mississippi State's athletic director, follows former UK associate AD Scott Strickland, who took over for Jeremy Foley at Florida as the AD there. And then Mississippi State's new baseball coach, because Cohen's not going to be AD and baseball coach. He's giving up the baseball. LSU hitting coach Andy Cannizzaro.
It wouldn't surprise me if John Cohen were, you know what, maybe I could do both.
I know.
I'm sure the baseball team would have loved that.
So a little bit of change there. And we mentioned at the top of the show, Devin Booker, career high, 38 points in the Suns win, overtime win, over the Pelicans. And then the Lakers beat the Warriors last night, 117-97. Julius Randle, 20 points, 14 rebounds.
Get off me, bro. That's what he thought.
Lakers coach Luke Walton called him a monster. Remember, Luke Walton was the interim coach for the Warriors while Steve Kerr was away last season. Now he's the head coach of the Lakers.
Luke Walton.
Puts the smackdown on Steph Curry and company. My kids love Steph Curry. And I enjoy watching Steph Curry. But the more this stuff, like, It was like when Boston, the Red Sox. Yeah, I used to love the Boston Red Sox.
But then they started winning?
Yeah. That's not going to happen with the Cubs. That's not going to happen with the Cubs. They just became, it just became too much. You know, like the Warriors. Like, I wanted to like the Warriors.
How'd you get so good?
I loved the Warriors, and then Draymond Green does the stuff that he does. I'm like, oh, God. It's, you're ruining it for everybody. And then they take Durant.
Yeah, it's cool when the Red Sox come down from 3-0.
Yes.
You know, Chris Schilling's got the bloody sock. Now we're having fun now.
And then they become insufferable. So it's just, yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back to wrap this thing up, talk about more college football, some big games today, including Kentucky and Georgia at 7:30 on the SEC Network over at Commonwealth Stadium. Not sure how close they are to capacity yet. Last we heard this week, it was 5,000 tickets were still out. We'll talk about that next here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with guest co-host, ABC 36's Alex Risen on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic Banking Center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown. J. Render's Southern Table and Bar is your game day tailgate headquarters before, during, and after the game. Pre-order tailgate packages online at jrendersbbq.com for pork, brisket, wings, chicken, and all the sides to kick off your game day. Not going to the game? Join J. Render's Southern Table and Bar for happy hour pricing with 75-cent jumbo smoked wings and bucket of beer specials during all UK games. And all day on Sunday for the NFL. J. Render's Southern Table and Bar, your tailgate headquarters, 3191 Beaumont Center Circle. If it's not smoked, it's not barbecue.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Botany Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, E6, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Botany Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Botany Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
Black Friday is about getting a great deal. Well, how about this one? At Tony's Steaks and Seafood, we believe in generosity. So on Black Friday only, visit our Lexington restaurant, purchase a $100 gift card, and you pay only $80. It's not valid for phone purchases, so come on in or go to tonysoflexington.com. It's valid only at the Lexington location. Drop by Tony's at 401 West Main or visit online. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood.
You can trust your car to Fleet Dog.
At Fleet Dog, we break for breast cancer. It's time to stop procrastinating and schedule your mammogram. That's why Fleet Dog supports the St. Joseph Hospital Foundation's Yes Ma'am program. Fleet Dog, with the help of Advanced Auto Parts, is donating $50 from every brake job now through the end of the year to the Yes Ma'am program, providing life-saving screening, patient navigation, treatment support, and programs for reduced or low cost. We want you to break for breast cancer, too. Visit Fleet Dog at 1031 Contract Street, and you could help save a life.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh, they're going to be bouncing to this tonight at Commonwealth Stadium, Alex Risen.
How much have you enjoyed the team on the sideline get jacked out of its mind?
I know. It's good.
I've got some good shots of those boys just, like, look out.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to tear an ACL over there. I mean, they are bouncy.
They dig it. There's no doubt.
I dig it. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I am too.
You better get jacked.
That's a good atmosphere when that's going well. That song's playing.
Yeah,
it's a good atmosphere. Will you guys be playing that? Will Josh be playing that for the show tomorrow morning?
Yes,
that's the question.
Yes.
Final predictions here as we enter the final few minutes of this show this morning. Kentucky's going to win. I just think Kentucky's going to win. I don't know if it'll be a two-point game, a one-point game, a last-second touchdown. I just think Kentucky is going to win this game today. That's it.
Does it mean more to Kentucky?
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is not saving Georgia's season.
Right.
Georgia's already in. I mean, they already lost to Vanderbilt. It can't get any worse.
Do you feel like the players, it is kind of whatever. We lost, like, what does it really matter if we lose to Kentucky?
I think it'll be hard to get them up for that. And I think Kirby Smart addressed it. He talked about the mentality, that they've got a mindset that maybe they're a bad team. So, by the way, ticket sales, according to UK, at the end of the day yesterday, at 59,000. Capacity is 61,000. That's according to Kentucky, spokesman for Kentucky.
Awfully close.
So it's 2,000 short. So maybe by the end of the day, by kickoff.
Weather stays nice. It's going to be a little cool, but hey, that's football weather.
Oh, it's going to be fine.
That's football weather,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. There's no rain. It's going to be upper 50s. By the end of the game, it'll be upper 40s.
Probably, yeah.
It'll be fine. You
throw
on. Just
bring a jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a little windy maybe. You could throw on a toboggan. It's nothing. It's not going to be 40 degrees, 30-something degrees. It's not going to be miserable. It's going to be fine. You will not be uncomfortable if you prepare it properly.
I'm going to take the Cats, too, by the way.
Kentucky wins. That's your, yeah. I think it does mean more to Kentucky, without a doubt. It
means everything to Kentucky.
It does. At noon today, college football begins with number 7 Louisville at Boston College on ESPN2. Patty Ice, Patrick Toles, already talking about wanting to beat Louisville all week long. Can't wait for Louisville. Well, here they come. Good luck. At noon, Georgia Southern at Ole Miss in the SEC on ESPNU. Also at noon in the SEC, Vanderbilt at Auburn on ESPN. Also at noon in the SEC, Texas A&M at Mississippi State. That's on the SEC Network. So, none of those SEC games good. 3:30, Florida at Arkansas. That is going to be a good game, you would think. Of course, Arkansas wins. Kentucky wins. That means tie.
It's out there.
That means a tie for first. Florida owns the tiebreaker right there, but
they still have LSU.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So go Hogs today. 4 o'clock, Missouri at South Carolina on the SEC Network. Can't wait to watch that. Ugh. Tennessee Tech at Tennessee on the SEC Network. So the SEC games of the day are 3:30, Florida at Arkansas, 7:30, Georgia at Kentucky. But unless you're a Georgia or Kentucky fan, you're only watching the first half hour of that because at 8 o'clock, it's Alabama at LSU. Woo!
Woo!
Exactly. No dab? You've only dabbed 3,000 times today.
3,000 no dab for Bama LSU.
Doesn't get a dab?
No. Yeah, okay. Two dabs. Boom, boom.
Yeah. Those were lackluster dabs.
Also, how will it look if we beat Georgia today?
And, see, Josh is
and
a
then
wee man.
Georgia beats Auburn at home next week. Ooh.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I thought maybe there was a chance.
You're wanting too much.
I mean, Auburn, Georgia is the Deep South's oldest rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be up for that game.
Not up enough.
But I just don't.
It won't be a party.
I just think Auburn's going to win that game. And then also at 8 o'clock, opposite Alabama LSU, is number 10 Nebraska, number 6 Ohio State on ABC 36.
Nebraska's a fraud.
I agree. Ohio State has looked like a fraud, though.
Just
Ohio State's looked like a fraud at times. So
not as big of a fraud as the Cornhuskers.
All right. Tomorrow's show will feature, hopefully, Keith Farmer, right?
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, he's good. From NBC. So you will have WLEX 18 and ABC 36 tomorrow, and right now you got Fox 56. So only the CBS affiliate will not be represented this weekend on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
That's okay.
But you and Keith, I'm sure, will do a great job. Mary Jo, as I said, on a birthday trip with her hubby to New Orleans, living it up, having a great time. I am not going to be here in the morning because I'm going to a game with some Georgia buddies of mine who are coming up. And then
you have to rub it in their face all night long.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long night.
So I'm just, yeah, I just wouldn't be at my best. Thanks for listening today to the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Thank you for being here. ABC 36 is Alex Risen. Join him tomorrow on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Some people are writing in that Gronk.